Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Roofing on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Last night, J.J. McCarthy looked like hot garbage for three quarters. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What can we expect Sunday night? He was 7 for 12 for 56 yards and a pick six. Then the fourth quarter came, and he had three touchdown drives. One he took in from himself after scrambling and then running into the end zone. They beat the Bears, Mike. And before we focus on J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings, Caleb Williams, you talked about him earlier in the show. Right. And guys, we're getting a sense of, you know, now all the teams have played in the NFL. Week one's down, and it's over. But there were some really good performances, including our guy, Michael Penix. He did not get the win. His team didn't get the win. But you can't deny that the kid showed you a lot right. of promise.
With that run game, too, without really having a balanced attack.
No doubt.
Knowing that, you know, the pocket was rarely clean. Our guy was making throws, as Arch said. Dave Archer joined us earlier. Rewind to 320 on the Odyssey app. But a lot of those throws under duress.
Well, and so McCarthy last night, he gets the run game going. They get it going in the second half. Kevin O'Connell's their head coach. They run for $120. We ran for 69 yards total. So there's the difference when you talk about making your quarterback a lot more comfortable. But Caleb Williams, Mike, what's your thought on him?
I'm reading some of the breakdowns from Chicago papers online and just from NFL analysts. You know, there were some good and some bad and some ugly. You know, I mean, I thought that, you know, and Arch brought up, there was one where, you know, Michael Penix may have missed a couple of throws. He was sailing the ball earlier. But I thought when the game got on the line, Michael Penix dialed it in and got better as the pressure mounted. You know, I thought, you know, we've seen it now in two big games, you know, at the start of the season, and of course what we saw against the Commanders, where this guy is really good in the two-minute drill. Two-minute drill is really hard for some young quarterbacks to master. He's got it, because he's told us he's played in these games before when it mattered most. So I like that. Caleb Williams is not even close to where Penix is, and he had a full year. Now, granted, he's had to go through now two coordinators, and Ben Johnson has been giving him some tougher love. He also had to, you know, deal with some nonsensical report we talked about yesterday that said, oh, the guy's got a learning disability, which is totally erroneous. So, I mean, there's a lot of hate for the guy, which I think is unfair, but he's got to start to show like he belongs in the NFL. And I didn't take a definitive from that last night. I said good and bad.
Yeah, he played all season last year, and you just felt like, at least I did, watching the reaction of Ben Johnson, he knows these play calls. So he knows who should be open and how this should look. And as they showed him on the sidelines last night, it was like Ben's going in it with his eyes. Damn. Like he missed it.
Yeah, he was there.
Right?
I was didn't see it.
Right. And I felt like Caleb was not hitting guys in stride. And Mike, you know me. Pull!
Right.
If guy's open, man, you got to let it go. And I just felt like he was hesitant with that. The first quarter, it looked like it was on point because it was scripted. He knew exactly where he should go. It was there. And you're going, oh, wow, he's 6 for 6 or whatever he was to start the game. Game went on. I felt like he got more and more tight. Meanwhile, the Vikings are a good team.
Three touchdowns, Carl, in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, look, they're a good team without J.J. McCarthy. They were a good team with Sam Darnold. They were a good team with Kirk Cousins. They're a good team because they're well-coached. And they may have the best defensive coordinator in the league in Brian Flores. And Kevin O'Connell is a quarterback whisperer. So I'm not surprised that J.J. turned it on, but he was hot garbage last night. And I feel like our guy is better overall, Mike, with his arm talent and all of that. But at the end of the day, we're going to get a chance to see up close and personal J.J. McCarthy on Sunday night. And one of the things the Bears did, they got that pick six, Mike, because they blitzed him. They put him under duress in the first three quick quarters, and it worked. But for some reason, either they went away from it or guys fell asleep, and all of a sudden you gave him all that confidence and he won the game.
We talked about how much our team just rallies behind Michael Penix Jr. This is before we had a little scrum with the Titans in preseason. You saw it last night if you stayed up or you saw it on SportsCenter this morning. They give him the game ball. Justin Jefferson's doing a post game. He's like, I'm talking about number 9. And they're talking about McCarthy because, you know, they get it. I mean, this is his first start in the NFL. And, yeah, you said it. You know, he took a shot to the body, but he rallied back. And he had drives of all three drives over 50 yards to get them those touchdowns. So better team, better balance, better weapons. And I think just still scratching the surface with Justin Jefferson because there was more opportunities that he missed, which you'll look at the film. I just don't like the fact that a guy who could have left Chicago with a loss and more questions than answers now comes out. McCarthy's confident. Team feels he's our guy. Now it's home opener, Sunday night football. The friggin' horn, all that crap in Minnesota.
Yep.
So hopefully we'll get after it. No, that's War of the Worlds. Yeah, that's War of the Worlds. They play that at Patriots games.
I don't want to hear that damn horn because that means we're doing our job. When you hear that horn go off, you know they're running it up.
But here's the thing. We got to get pass rush, and we started the 5 o'clock hour talking about we didn't get home. And then there were stats out there. You brought it up yesterday that, you know, if you look at the win rate for James Pierce Jr., better than Mykal Williams, better than Mike Green with the Ravens, but we still didn't get the quarterback on the ground. We held the Buccaneers to 140 yards less than last year's average, Carl, on offense. But, you know, to me, it's like, okay. Then we said, and you and I looked at this earlier, the interior of the line. Maurice Clark, who listens to us, says, you know, without stout enough in the interior, he goes, the best defenses get great interior line play.
Yeah.
Did we get the push? I thought Rook got swallowed up a lot when he was in the rotation. And that helps those guys that we're talking about on the edge.
What's curious for me as I look at the Vikings, and we got all week to break it down, and we will, and Friday we'll give you our final thoughts on this heading into Sunday Night Football. And here's the cool thing. I really do hope Darnell and Drake can play because Sunday Night Football is spotlight. And for a lot of people who watched us play the Commanders last year, this is their next opportunity to say, hey, what's this Michael Penix kid about? If he doesn't have his weapons out there, it may look different. And so I'm hoping that they're able to play. But the curious thing to me, Mike, is I brought this up Monday when we were talking about the Falcons losing the game to the Bucs. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Statistically, if you buy into all this, we should have won the game. We had the ball more. We had more first downs. All the things that matter, right? Time of possession. The Bears did the same thing last night. But it came down to three drives and three moments.
Right.
And so when you look at the Bears game last night, they lose 27-24, but the Bears had more yards. They had more plays. They ran 63 plays to 49 for the Vikings.
Because the Vikes like three and out so much in the first like half, the first three quarters.
So what's the old adage? If I run more plays than you, Mike, that gives me more chances to score. I'm more likely I'm going to win the game. Not the case. Same thing played out with us. More passing yards. I mean, this is the thing. The Bears guys had 12 penalties for 127 yards. They shot themselves in the foot. That's why you lose football games. And the point I'm getting to is, statistically, if I showed you the Falcons and Bucks, you go, man, look how good we look. We lost the game. Why? And so those are the things we got to figure out, Mike, whether it's field goal kicking or other moments that guys have to make plays to get these wins, and especially on the road on a Sunday night.
I saw some breakdowns about the quarterbacks around the league, some on SI.com, other websites. Needless to say, Josh Allen came in at one. You could have Justin Herbert at two, Geno. Michael Penix Jr. is top five. He's top four in yards.
Quarterbacks.
Again, he should have had two touchdowns. Drake, unfortunately, couldn't handle that second touchdown, but he runs for that one. I mean, that's elite. That's what you're looking for. Guys, he's only started four games in the league. We just broke down. You know, here's a guy, Caleb Williams, who's had a full season under his belt. And Michael Penix Jr. now, hopefully, as you said, Sunday Night Football on display. But gosh, I sure hope Mooney's there. Even Drake, you know, at 75%. But one thing I think Zach Robinson, we'll ask Coach about this tomorrow. We'll be at the branch. Divine Diablo is going to be our player guest. And Wes Durham is going to join us later in the show, is get Kyle Pitts involved because he was open so much of the time earlier. And I think Mike wants to, you know, pump him up. If you can get Pitts involved early in this game and Bijan does what it is, but you said it against Minnesota and Brian Flores' blitz package, we've got to establish the run.
Well, I think
you can't establish the run. Yeah. It's going to be a long night.
No doubt. And I think Pitts will be open a lot simply because that underneath stuff's going to be there. And let me give Kyle some credit. Did y'all see how he was running after the catch on Sunday? This is what I've been saying about
ferocity.
Being a beast. I'm not only going to catch the ball. I'm going to get yak after that. I catch this, and you're not going to give me – I'm just not taking the 5 or 6 yards. I'm about to get 10. He ran with a purpose after he caught the ball, Mike, and that was impressive. But I also think, Mike, we said it all summer. He's comfortable. Like, you saw that. I hope you guys saw it, and I'm with you on this. On Sunday night, I think a lot of the underneath stuff's going to be there, and Kyle could ultimately have a big night. It may not be big chunks. But right. It may be the, you know, the 10, the 7, the 8-yard, move the chains kind of deal, sort of like what we saw in this game. But remember, he caught 7 of the 8 balls thrown to him. I thought he had a really good game, man, considering the first game of the season, everybody's saying, is he going to show up?
I think there's only one play where I think Arch brought up, you know, looking from the booth, it looked like he maybe the route was, he didn't see it through. But, hey, We're looking for this guy to be a big factor. You said it last year to be a big factor with Mooney, you know, and certainly with Drake not close to being 100%. This is a chance where he can really take the pressure off. And it was almost like once Drake was out, he was the guy that was a big force in what should have been a game-tying drive.
He really was. Hey, man, it's been a very fun show today. And by the way, any of the interviews that you might have missed, go online, subscribe to Dukes and Bell. Don't miss any of our content. It's that easy. You'll get alerted, and you'll get a chance to hear all the great stuff. But today, a great interview with Connor Riley talking about the Dogs, and we're going to continue to chop this up all week. If you're wondering, Dogs were like a 6-7 point favorite. That number's come down about 3.5 on the road against Tennessee. First SEC game for the Dogs when you talk about the real test. But Connor had some interesting news notes about where the Dogs are, even from a health standpoint, going into this game. And we got a chance earlier in the show, as we mentioned, to talk with the Georgia Tech beat writer, Chad Bishop. And, Mike, we talk about big games, and we'll be talking about this as well. Big game for Georgia Tech this weekend against Clemson.
Man, you and I were talking about this earlier. You just wish it was going to be under the lights. You know, it's going to be, you know, Saturday night with the skyline in the background. I said it at 2 o'clock. Tech fans, this is it, man. You got to really bring the noise. Let's get bananas. It's hard sometimes to get it up for a noon game. But let's hope that the rambling, what? I'm just talking about energy, Dave. Again, second time you guys.
Struggle. I was just surprised.
Well, when you say somebody's earning a lot of money with their mouth, Mike, I'm going to look twice.
And I was just
doing
surprised.
Accents.
I was just surprised that you said it was tough to get it up for a nooner.
Well, you know, granted, the average tech. Well, Day-Day.
For a nooner. Day-Day. Really?
Well, again, Day-Day. For those of you married guys who get that, to you I say mazel tov. For the average tech fan, and again, I no longer want to make the joke, the average tech fan is 65 to dead. Those guys do have a hard time getting it up for a nooner. Hopefully they will on Saturday against Clemson, because Klubnik has looked pretty meh, you know, if we're honest, the first couple of games.
Nooner? Let's get out of here and clear our throat.
Hi-o.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat
on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game.
We built this program in God's name, image, and likeness.
I hear you.
All right, Dabo. By the way, there are some guys right now going, nooner, what's that? I don't even know what a nooner is.
Check with your doctor. See if a nooner is right for you.
Yeah, or ask her. Tomorrow, Flowery Branch. What, Orin? It's the truth. If you don't ask, you don't receive. Right. Flowery Branch tomorrow. We'll be there. 2 o'clock. Make sure you're there. Turtle is back tonight. He's got the night show starting at 6 o'clock. Big O, great job. Day-Day, our executive producer. Thank you guys for being here and listening as always. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man. We talked about it with Connor Riley earlier. I mean, we like Gunnar Stockton. Want to believe in Gunnar Stockton. Hopefully, you'll be elite coming up on Saturday. But, you know, a guy's got 61 touchdowns on the other side of the field. That's Joey Aguiar. That's a lot of touchdowns, Carl, from his time at App State.
It's a lot of touchdowns.
5 this year. And you could argue by any metric he would be the better quarterback going into it. But has Georgia been sandbagging him? What can you make of these first two games? I don't know. They don't look great. Tennessee's look better. I mean, we said it's 9. It's actually 8 in a row. They're going for 9 in a row against Tennessee. I think it's going to be a real dogfight, pardon the pun. Fowler, by the way, and Herbstreit are going to do the afternoon call on Big ABC.
All right. Jalen Carter fined today, guys. NFL came down. They fined him $57,222.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why don't ask me about the $222, basically $60,000 for spitting on Dak Prescott. He will not be suspended another game because he missed that game. So the NFL said, we would have suspended you an additional game, but you already missed one. Bottom line is, don't spit on anybody. It's not worth it. Hope the lesson was learned, not only for Jalen Carter, but for kids watching and people who play and are around the game. No place in the game for it ever. Hey, if you love the show,
tell your friends.
If you don't
spend some time looking at making money with your mouth.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.